Again, I want to say good morning to all. What a joy it is to be in Mawa. Again, he says, I was going to Mawa this morning, and the Lord brought us here safely. The meeting this morning, I thought, was very rich, and enjoying the remembrance meeting, I believe we'll continue on that line. In John's Gospel, chapter 19, and reading from verse 25. Now they stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, Behold my mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things was now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He bowed his head. It is finished. Give up the ghost. It is stated that it is finished is one word rarely in Greek. So three words in English. It is finished. We had this morning some scripture read to us about the sufferings of Christ. And it is stated, when I'm getting cool in my affections for Christ, when the things of God seems to be losing its grip upon my soul, there is a remedy. You know, I suffer from sinus problems, you see, and I take some medication for it. There is help for many things. And a brother said to me years ago that medication was made for the believer, but the unbeliever come under the umbrella of it. They are blessed because of it. So there are things we can use with symptoms that we have. But here it is. Many times you find believers may lose interest in the things of Christ. And there's a wonderful picture in the Old Testament when we come to the Songs of Songs, chapter 5. When the bride, he came to the door and he said to her, Open my love, my dove, my undefiled. And she says, No, I've taken off my clothes and I'm in my bed and I'm not getting up. She was very indifferent. But what he did, he took some myrrh and put it on the knob of the door, so to speak. And she smelled the myrrh. And it aroused her because it speaks of the suffering love of Christ. What Christ has gone through for us. And then he withdrew himself. And she went looking for him. And you know what she says to the daughters of Jerusalem? If you find my beloved, tell him I'm sick of love. I love him so much and I missed him. When she viewed this suffering love in application, of course. And then they says, well, who is he that you so charging us that you're so forceful? And she described him from head to toe. Here in this portion, it is a beautiful climax of the meeting we had this morning. The scriptures that were read in the book of Isaiah chapter 53. And the scriptures that were read in the Psalms. And the scriptures that were read in the New Testament. And the thanksgiving that ascend as wonderful aroma and fragrance to the nostrils of the Lord Jesus Christ and to his Father. It is finished. So we view Calvary. We view the work that he has accomplished. And we concluded with, Glory, Lord, is thine forever. Ever thine, thou art the Son. greater far. Thy God had glory, ever blessed, thou art the Son. So he is greater than his work. But the benefits, beloved saints, all we can do is give thanks. I would like to just bring four things in relation to this. It is finished. It is finished. And first, I want to turn to the book of Luke. Luke's Gospel and chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And we want to read verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which was written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then open ye their understanding, that they may understand the scriptures. It is finished. Imagine the Lord at this point, because the work is done, and he says, the last thing, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, I thirst. And after that, he said, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. Brethren, when you look at the work of Christ and the person of Christ, it is said the five books of Moses gives us the figures of Christ, types and shadows. The prophets give us the foretellings of Christ. And the Psalms, the inner feelings of Christ. All of these things has been accomplished. If we are talking about the Lamb, he is the Lamb. If we are talking about the burnt offering, he is it. And these verses were quoted this morning. And if we look in Scripture and realize that everything that was prophesied of him has been accomplished and has been achieved through the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he can say, oh foolish ones, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And from Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them the things concerning himself. It's a hymn book. It's about him. And we often say the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Since when we look back and hear that word, it is finished, people believe it is from Genesis to Malachi. The Lord Jesus picked it up. Remember in the book of Luke, the same book of Luke, he took up the book of Isaiah and he read Isaiah chapter 61, unroll it, and he found where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And when? Let's read it. Chapter 4, verse 18. It says in verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue was fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He closed the book. And saints, he began to unfold the grace of God. He began to show the heart of God for you and for me. He unveiled, he really open up the heart of divine persons. When you read the book of Luke, it says, what grace, what grace. The woman who was not welcome in the Pharisee's house came in and washed his feet with tears. This man, he can't be no prophet if he knew what kind of woman this was. Indeed, but what happened? He was called the friend of sinners. the man on the road going down to Jericho, fell among thieves. He came where he was, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, took him to the inn, took care of him. The prodigal son, it tells us in chapter 15, oh, this man, you know, eat it and drink it. He received it sinners. It tells us with Zacchaeus, this man has gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. All of these things, brethren, is to see the fulfillment of the Old Testament, but also the revelation of the heart of God in relation to the grace of God. We know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be enriched. Saints, it's grand to be a Christian, you know, it's grand. And the thing is this, when we look back, we can say it is fulfilled. It is fulfilled. I worked with a Jew. I worked with him for years. And I told him his Messiah came. But you know, it was difficult for him to embrace it. Difficult. But thank God, because of their unbelief, we come into blessing. So, you know, listen, you cannot handcuff God. You cannot handcuff him. God, many are the devices of men, but the counsels of God that shall stand. So when we come, he closed the book. Remember, he closed the book. But in Revelation chapter 5, the strong angel proclaimed, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor on earth was found. And John began to weep. And the elders said to him, weep not, John, for the lion of the tribe of Judah had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Oh, saints, listen. There are still things to be accomplished. But because of his death, he has received the title deed. He has the title to the universe. And one day, indeed, God is going to say to him, ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Indeed, because of Calvary. Because of Calvary. And the day is coming. It's coming. Yes, we are waiting for the coming of our Lord for us. But the Apostle Paul and the apostles taught about that day when he comes to rule and reign, when he shall set up his kingdom. You see, brethren, the world to come, the world to come. We don't speak much about it, because when you look at the chaos in the world today and poor leadership across the globe, God is just showing to us, it make no sense voting for people, you know. You know, because indeed God says, I have my man, and my man is going to be set up, and I have him already. Everybody else they put in that place will be nothing but a failure. But God says, this is the man that I delight to honor. And that day is coming. So when you read the Old Testament, they only give you the earthly side of the kingdom. But when you read Revelation chapter 21 from verse 9 to the end, it gives you the heavenly side of the kingdom. That is where we are going. So yes, the lion will lie down with the lamb. His glory shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. There'll be fruit. There will be abundance in that day to come. That's for the earthly people. For us, heavenly side. That's it. Heavenly side. What fruit you're telling me about? We will be the sun. Sorry, the moon in that. We will shed light upon the earth in that day to come. All of that when Jesus says, finished. Secondly, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, well-known verse, and verse 1. There is therefore now, right now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Saints, Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. My judgment, your judgment, was borne by him. God took our sins and put it upon Christ and dealt with him as he should have dealt with us. My sins, the hymn writer says, not in part but the whole. is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. My sins and iniquities you will remember no more. They are gone. They are moved as far as the east is from the west. He was delivered for offenses and was raised again for our justification. Saints, listen, there is no judgment for the believer. Why? Because Jesus took it all. So there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. God has put us in him. Quickly, 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy had begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials. Because of Christ's resurrection, we have an inheritance. And this is where Paul and Peter touches a bit. Peter is telling us there is something reserved for us because of Calvary. But there is something also, he said to us, we are kept for it and it is kept for us. What is that, brethren? What is that? I often tell people, I came from a family of 12. I am the sixth. And my father left a will. And in that will, he only left for 6 of his children. I says, what is this? I have to say, I was in it. Okay? But that will, he could have changed it. But when he died, that will become official. He sealed that will by his death. Well, God is saying to us, I left you an inheritance. And the testator who testified about this inheritance has died to enforce it. And now, indeed, he's alive. You could imagine this. It's only in the scriptures you will find that. The person who left an inheritance for you died to seal it and then rose again to tell you, I want you to enjoy it. Come on in and enjoy this inheritance. That's what happened to the prodigal son. The prodigal son didn't understand, indeed, what the father had left for him. He said, give me it right now. Indeed, I don't want to wait until you die. Give me it right now. Son, behave yourself. He took his journey in a far country, wasted his substance in righteous living. But when he came back home and saw what the father had in his house and realized how he was missing out in the world, I want to get as far from God as possible. Hey, listen, all the blessings we could have is in Christ. He tell the father, Father, I've sinned against heaven. The father didn't want to hear that. I've sinned. The father said to them, bring the best robe. Cover him with kisses. Cover him up and hug him up and just kiss him. And you could imagine the boy. You know, Brother Jake, years ago, came to St. Kitts. And you know, we hug up, you see. Hug up and rock one another. Brother Jake came and he hugged me up, man, and we just rock a little. He went to one of the brothers from the islands and hugged him up, the brother. It was strange for him. Strange. See, a man hugging up a man. He was strange. I said, brother, if you go to some places, men kiss one another and one on the cheek and stuff, what you will do? So the thing is this, the son was so surprised, was so taken back, that in spite of his departure, the reception that he had and brought in, the father had in his house a robe, he had a shoes, he had the ring, and the outside he had the fatted calf. And he says, kill it, let's eat. Let's drink. Let me marry. My son who was lost is now found. Who was dead is alive. You could imagine the joy of divine persons when we enjoy what he has secured for us through the death of his son. That's why Paul in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians says that we may know the riches of his inheritance in the saints. God wants us not to wait till I get to heaven to enjoy what he has for me. No, he gives us the earnest of the Spirit right now to bring a present enjoyment now and ultimately in a day to come. The heart of God has been revealed. It is finished. So what I got to do if I turn to God? What I must do, oh God? Enjoy it. You don't have anything to do. And I tell you, one of the hardest things is for us to enjoy what God has set out for us. My wife and my daughter took me to a restaurant, a Greek restaurant. Now, I've been to Greece many times. I've been to Athens, I've been to Corfu, and they have a roast fish, a grilled fish in Corfu. And I tell you. So I said to the guy, listen here, I go to Greece and I eat a grilled fish. I see you have it here. I want to see. He says, okay, sir. He made the grilled fish and he brought it out. I ate it. And know what I said to him? He came back for the verdict. And I said to him, I was not disappointed. I was not disappointed. Listen, let me tell you this. You will never be disappointed. When you enjoy what God has set out for you, you'll never be disappointed. So this inheritance is that we are going to rule and reign with Christ. God is going to put us into the inheritance. And what we, when we take and enjoy it, you find it is how God takes possession of his possession. It's through us. Don't stop short of what God has for you. Romans. And I'll sit down. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 7. For none of us live to himself, and no man died to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. It is finished. Remember when Jesus rose again from the dead in the book of Matthew, and he came and he says, all hail, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Peter, the day of Pentecost, the book of Acts and chapter 2. Say, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles, by wonders and signs, you have taken with wicked hands, have crucified and slain. But he was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's the two sides of the cross. Man's side and God's side. But then in verse 36, he says, of the same chapter, this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. You know, listen, Jesus is Lord. When he says it is finished, the groundwork has been laid that he may take possession or hold of this glory and act in light of it. He is Lord as a man, as a man. And I tell you, they tell us in Philippians, God has highly exalted him. And give him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, brethren, Jesus is Lord. I am not worried, to tell you the honest truth. I'm not worried about who is in Washington. I'm not worried about who is in England. I'm not worried about who is in Canada. Because Canada having the election. I am not concerned. You know why? I know who's in charge. Jesus is in charge. And everyone, saved and unsaved, will have to bow to him and own him as Lord and personal Savior. Now, when it comes to Lordship, none of us belongs to ourselves. Whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. So the unbeliever is not conscious of that. And you know what is amazing? None of us in this room could do as we please. We cannot. You could imagine I decide, hey Bill, just give me your keys, please. Give me your keys. And Bill just giving it up. He will ask, well, why you want my keys? But I went up further. I said, give me the keys for your house. He will think something going wrong. What it is, people have authority. God has given some people authority. But I tell you, the ultimate, that's why he is King of Kings. He is King over all they that rule. And he's Lord of Lords over all they that exercise lordship or authority. He is in charge. So the centurion, when they sent to Jesus and says, come down, this man has done so much for us, you know, and his servant is the point of death. And Jesus start coming to the man's house. The man says, listen, send a message. Don't come under my roof. I says to some, come, and they come. I said to some, go, and they go. I said, do this, and they do it. All you have to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. That's authority. Speaks authority. When you go to a place and says, you know who sent me? Brother Bill. Oh, people start shaking. Start shaking because of the weight of the man. The clout he has. So there are some men, when you call their name, and you walk right through the door. Oh, yes, oh, yes, okay, okay. And you get royal treatment because of the authority. Think about Christ. It is finished, saints. The scriptures are fulfilled. It is finished. No condemnation. Judgment is behind my back. What is before me is glory. Likewise, the inheritance is there. And he is Lord. It means he has the title to everything in the universe. And one day, he's going to ask. And as he asks, we will be with him. May God help us to know what has been accomplished. For his name's sake, amen.